Welcome, friends, to the God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend of Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 210, High Anxiety, comes your way now.
Pete, this an episode written by your series showrunners and creators, Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt, directed by Teresa Sanjar-Unsuth-Ekel, and this an episode whose ratings are up from when last we spoke. This got a 1.0 with 7.82 million viewers, that up from the series low of a 0.6 with 5.9 million viewers 2 weeks ago. So, Pete, we're back in the black here.
What have we seen? When it airs prior to when it's expected, it's low. When it airs a little bit afterward, it's up or on target. So figure it out, CBS and NFL, how to make this show air when it's supposed to.
I think while nobody is super concerned about cancellation at the end of this season, which is to say it appears to be in good shape for a third season, I think it'll be very telling to see what the ratings look like without football. And speaking of which, Pete, no more God Friend and Me for this month, what with Kennedy Center honors and some holiday stuff ahead.
For this year, Matt.
Calendar year, not TV year. The show likely returning January 5th for the first of three Sunday dates that month. So probably clear of NFL stuff, but if not, we'll certainly reach February and those episodes, probably some interruptions in February as well as we look ahead to the Oscars, to the Super Bowl on other networks. But, continuing to chug along here with GFM.
So let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Breakfast burrito time. 7 a.m. is early for Miles, but right on time for team leader Rakesh. The boss man recaps his search for a love app, and the podcaster recaps his loss of lady love, Kara. With that, Miguel Solano is the new friend suggestion. Miles takes that suggestion to Kara, who's gotten her old office because Adam has left for Vice. Kara recaps the contentious last episode and wonders if the account is kind or hurtful. Bottom line, she's stepping away from the account and maybe Miles.
At Arthur's office, church board member Lester says the diocese is so happy with Arthur. So are the higher-up bishops as well. In Rakesh's office, the game plan is to focus on the mission of the week, but there is an emergency on the identity seal floor. A window washer's rig has snapped, and hey, it's Miguel Solano. FDNY will be there in 10 minutes, and the floor needs to be cleared out. But only Rakesh can reboot the Wi-Fi to connect to Miguel's internet-based radio and rig. At Ali's bar, Kara's sad and hushed and looking for guidance. Ali suggests she find a way to fight back against the account.
At a piano bar, Trish has great news. She'll be on stage tomorrow. But Arthur can't make it on account of needing to talk to those bigwigs. But he'll definitely be there next time. Back to Identity Seal, Rakesh has teched the tech and has saved the day, though it's strange that the rig seems to be working just fine. With the radio now accessible, Miguel says he's not looking to be saved. He ends the call, unclips his safety harness, and prepares to jump. Miles and Rakesh need a way to emotionally break through. Miles gets Kara on board. Get wife Isabel here. Stat.
FDNY doesn't get told Miguel wants to jump, but New York's bravest give the okay for Miles to stay. The firefighters head to the roof, and Miles and Miguel talk about life, including his sick daughter, Ava. She has kidney failure and expensive dialysis. Miguel can't donate. He's AB negative. A quote-unquote accidental fall will send insurance money to his wife and daughter. Miles proposes raising the money by spreading the word. The FDNY returns, Isabel arrives, and pleas are made for him to not jump. Miguel holds on as the rig is raised.
It's now up to Miles and company to help raise the money, 100 grand. and word will be spread via Miles' podcast, Rakesh's GoFundMe page, and Kara's article. Hooray, teamwork. Knock, knock, it's Miguel at Miles' door. Miguel had asked for help from God, and God sent Miles. In Arthur's office, father and son talk about the good the account does and how Miles might need to leave it behind to be with Kara.
Miles goes to see Kara, and he's chosen her. Miguel is the last friend suggestion, but Ava's in the hospital with kidney failure. She needs that transplant ASAP, with a grave outlook for the next few days. Miles and Kara meet a man whose son is getting a kidney from a universal donor. Good thing, too. His son is AB negative. A new hope.
Trish is about to go on stage. Sans Beinerman. At Arthur's office, the bigwigs arrive and Arthur gives them his plans and decides he needs to be with his fiance. He arrives just in time to hear her sing a song about him. At the hospital, it's confirmed. Miguel donates a kidney to Ben and the universal one goes to Ava.
At the piano bar, Arthur is always going to put Trish first. As for Miles and Kara, with the surgeries that were successful, Kara can't let him walk away from the account. Still, they can't be together, so it's over. That night, Miles and Rakesh walk and talk. So what will Miles do? He can't walk away. After all, there's no one to replace him. Unless there is, if they could talk to the person behind the account. And hey, there's Joy back in town and on a case, and she's got a lead on the God account. She's found a connection between everyone. It's helped.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
So, Pete, question for you. Who's got more training on preventing potential, you know, building jumpers? FDNY captains or podcasters?
Undoubtedly, the Fire Department of New York has more expertise, nay, training in talking people down. But given what seemed like a half-bottle-ish episode, and that he deals in this type of, I don't want to say material, but just milieu with people looking for hope and running into bad situations, I don't have an issue with the way that Miles went about it. I took a little bit more of an issue with not telling them, rather than, hey, he mentioned he's going to jump, but I'm going to try to talk him down.
I know I just gave a little bit of a finger wag to the show. Here's more of a finger wag, not to this episode, but I guess it's just the way, you know, the credits work sometimes. This episode's ending was spoiled for me at the beginning because I saw Jessica Liu's name in the credits. And at a certain point, you look at the clock and say, all right, she's not going to show up at the hospital. She's going to show up towards the end. Not unique to this show. And certainly, you know, literal credit where credit is due. And I'm sure it's a SAG-AFTRA issue and it's a place of pride and et cetera, et cetera. But I just wish there was a way to be like, hey, people who show up in the last 60 seconds of an episode and show up in the next episode have the option of not being credited. And they also get an extra, you know, 15% in their episode pay because they're taking a hit with less credit, but it's better for the story. But alas, that's not the way it is.
Far too notable when they don't take the credit. My mind goes back to Katie Sackhoff when they appear to have killed her back on Battlestar Galactica. The spoiler moratorium for, I believe, 2007 or 8 is officially over. And she was out for 3 or 4 episodes, and then she pops back up and had not popped up in the credits. So obviously it was a shocker that she had returned. We saw it and we're like, all right, Joy's finally back. And wait, there are 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. There's Joy. Yes, it is a telegraphed punch. you could argue within the space of this episode, so much going on emotionally with the Miles Kara storyline that you needed the patented God Friended Me uplift at the end and her opportunity to, of course, jump in the story, tell us she's found the connection, not tell us what the connection is, because we're going to hold that back until the next episode. But you could argue without her inclusion at the end, we'd have two in a row, Matt. We had never had one end in a downer before, like last week, or 2 weeks ago, I should say. And then you'd have two in a row. I mean, my goodness.
Particularly in this episode, which has Miles and Kara down and then more broken up at the end, that has, you know, the mission of the week is a, you know, a suicidal guy trying to take his own life so that his dying daughter won't die. You know, definitely. And all of it, you know, certainly Miles and Kara, it breaks my heart that they're still not together. But the fact that Miguel Solano's family is intact at the end, that was uplifting in and of itself. But in the construction of this episode, yes, we needed just some, we needed that nice God Friended Me ice cream cone at the end to make us feel better for the journey along the way.
I mean, this, an episode unlike we've seen in the two season run to this point, one that could only be written by the co-creators and the showrunners. Like I said, you get this bottle-ish feel in the first half, what with the identity seal action, the window washing mechanism, and then the second half, all right, how do we get Miguel and his daughter to the organ they're looking for? I think including the other family, I mean, typically that's a thing where, all right, there's a family in Minneapolis and then there's you. To have it in the same hospital, again, it's the hand of the writer. But to meet that other family and to come up with a solve that way, I thought that was the most ingenious part of this episode.
It was, and I have to confess, we're pretty good at detecting story fingerprints on first view as it unfolds, you know, Chekhov's gun, etc. I had to go back and insert into the recap the early mention of Miguel's type AB, you know, rare blood type there, because they got it mentioned. And it just, they got it mentioned the first time, and it just played as, and here's why I can't help, to then also be building this really, you know, it's a small world connection. It, honestly, it's the kind of thing, yes, Pete, it is unusual to have the two people under the same roof, but they would not have made that connection if not for Miles. So, I mean, one wonders, and probably, you know, statistically, the numbers are rare, but one wonders how often, you know, that stranger in the waiting room is also the solution to your problem, whatever it might be. It's just, you never know, because those conversations never come up. So if the connective tissue is going to be Miles and the account, I mean, that's the very conceit and nature of the show.
Obviously, much of the thrust of this season has been the continued building of the relationship between Miles and Kara. We suffer a setback the prior episode with Miles getting the friend suggestion that was Kara's stepfather and his insider trading leading to him cutting a plea. He's going to do some jail time. Obviously, this has had an impact on Kara's pretty fragile family life. She had just moved back home, and there's her young sister Liv and her concerns about her stability with her father and her life. But at the same time, this idea of, okay, Miles now is going to make the choice, not have it demanded of him through Kara, because that's not fair to have her do to him. But Miles is going to, of his own volition, come forward and, you know, move away from the God account. But Kara, seeing the good that it does, not wanting him to do that. And again, I can appreciate what they're trying to do. They're taking that higher road of, she acknowledges all the good that comes from it. Very similar in many respects to Trish acknowledging all the good that comes from Arthur's involvement in the diocese and not painting these women with the brush that, well, they're selfish and they just want what they want and they're forcing the men to sacrifice. And they've been very delicate and smart about doing that. But it just feels like there's another solve with Miles and Kara that we haven't come to yet.
Particularly when you look through it from the, you know, through the lens of this is a show that needs to have a consistent kind of, you know, a consistent construction each week. I don't fully buy the notion that by the end of this season, Miles is going to be like, all right, Allie, I'm ready to start that part-time bartending job. Good luck, new God friend and me person in season three. It's Jose and, you know, Susan, they're going to be the ones doing it. Goodbye, everybody. Like, of course you're going to retain this core bunch of people. You want to sit and say now more than one person is, you know, the prophet receiving messages. Okay. And I think we've kind of been circling that a little bit for a while now, but the show ever so slightly is asking, in my mind, a big ask for us to believe that God Friend and Me isn't going to be about Miles helping Miles and his friends helping people.
And I suppose that hinges greatly on whatever Joy has figured out connects all of the friend's suggestions. I mean, what could it be other than they occur on a platform, Facebook? They seem to be all New York based. I mean, what else could it be?
Well, Pete, I know who it isn't, and that's Adam. You know what, Pete? We both thought that there was going to be an episode, maybe even perhaps this episode. Pete, in my mind, it was going to be this. Adam was going to be like, oh, hey, Kara, come into my office to talk about the next cool thing we're going to investigate. Oh, no, I just spilled herbal chai on my tight T-shirt. I better take it off. Oh, no, you know. The fact that Adam up and left so quickly, to be serious for a moment here, it actually made me wonder, you know, maybe they only had the actor for a certain number of episodes and he booked another gig and it kind of felt like a bit of a left turn, particularly since I felt like week after week it was building towards some sort of conflict. But nope, she's back in her office and Adam is presumably gone forever.
I mean, maybe God Friended Me's version of Nikki and Paolo. Perhaps the reaction, people's concern that this character was, you know, made a member of the cast so that he could drive a wedge between Miles and Kara. Who knows? We got Joy back. We got rid of this guy. It's definitely a net gain. Ready?
Bottom line, Pete, I guess neither of us are predicting the you know, Adam returns mid-season finale or something like that.
Well, again, have to see. Who knew it was going to be this long before we saw Joy again? And certainly welcome to see Jessica Liu back. But for me, the scene that really is important for the scope of this whole episode and the story right now is Miles going to see his father and them having these dual epiphanies. Arthur, you know, his a little delayed in that, okay, he's looking at the photo as these other bishops have shown up and he determines he's got to go see Trish, who really sang in this episode. That is actually Erica Gimple's voice. So, you know, she had been asked quite a bit when she was finally getting an opportunity to sing. And you know, I do not want to gloss over that we finally got that and what a tremendous voice she has. But almost felt like with Arthur, it was going to be like, hey, why don't we go down to the jazz club and look at my things I've provided you? And I'm glad they didn't go there as well. But that Arthur counsels Miles, all right, what's the right move? And it's really the right move as well for Arthur. If we're going to say that the organ donation gambit worked in a positive, this also a pretty elegant solution. What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, some tweets about this episode. First one up is from James, that's at Big Killin, who says, good episode, brought us, quote, joy in the end. I see what he did there, Pete. Also, a tweet from M2 Seattle, that's at M2 Mark Kakenen, that says, love the show tonight. And lastly, would not be the same if we did not hear the tweet from Tweet Scala, that's Peter. It was a very emotional roller coaster ride. There's no more team Miles and Kara, sadly. It is sad, Pete, isn't it?
For now. I mean, come on. Have faith that they're going to be back together. Kind of surprised, too, they didn't put more of an effort into a fall finale or a mid-season finale type of thing. But I'm fine that they don't build it up to a big point. I know in some of the Facebook groups that follow the show, it's been an issue where people have not even understood. Wait, finale? The show's over forever? The show's over for the season? What? That can't be the case.
Yeah, I must confess, Pete, as somebody who doesn't watch the previews, did they say, like, coming back January 5th?
Or there was just no preview at all.
See, I feel like you don't do right by your audience. I mean, yes, we live in this age and whatnot, but you just watch the show on TV. The least it could do is say, you know, in 3 weeks,
right,
joy is back, or just something to give people a sense. Because
return, you know, how many people are gonna... January 5th,
yeah,
or what have you. But again, you know, right now, CBS is also co-opting other shows' promos to throw you a Starfleet Delta with things that are not Star Trek properties. So who knows what kind of promotional decisions they're making right now. And this coming from a podcast that podcasts to Star Trek CBS shows.
Pete, given the ineptitude of CBS PR, it's probably best that Godfriend and me just, you know, all it did was just get slightly ignored for like when the next time the show is on. But, you know, keep looking Sundays at 8 and it'll be on, you know, it'll be on soon enough, versus just the ineptitude of CBS PR when it comes to Star Trek and other things. But Pete, let's end here with a little Godfriended Me uplift. This might be our last Godfriended Me of December. Don't worry. The show's not canceled. The podcast isn't canceled. You know, we'll be back in January as the show returns. But between then and now, so much to be talking about here at Fantastic Geek. Watchmen, two short treks that are later this week, Runaways, The Mandalorian, Star Wars Rise of Skywalker. I think I hit everything, Pete. What did I miss?
I mean, that's it for the immediate future. By the time January rolls around and we'll be getting back to Godfriend and Me, we'll have the last Star Trek short trek leading up to Star Trek Picard, which starts the end of January. So busy, busy time. Definitely grateful for our patrons to patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly this busy time of year, and especially as we, you know, want to give equal podcast love to all those things that we do cover. Part of the reason coming back week after week for Godfriend and Me and all these other things is knowing that we are listener supported, knowing that we do have those people on patreon.com/fantasticgeek helping keep the lights on and helping keep the bandwidth and the storage and the bleeps and the bloops. Pete, basically all the things that Rakesh texts the tech each week. It's all supported by the people who go to patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
And as Matt, with each podcast that we upload, sends me the available amount of space that we have remaining, and we have to make decisions editorially with that. Definitely grateful for the people that help out as those bills come due. So thank you, one and all.
Pete, lots of goodies there on Patreon, but the best is always a freebie. How can people talk to you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R, 10,926 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek, all one word with the P and the H, like it today.
For those listening on the God Friended Me feed, we'll talk to you in January. If you listen to us via the Pop Culture Podcast feed, buckle up. These next 11, 12 days are going to be jam-packed with everything Star Wars, Star Trek, comics, space, Earth, other galaxies, etc. Super excited, cannot wait. But now, I will say adios to all the listeners and give you, Pete, the final word.
God will give you the power to have the peace in the midst of the storm.